Good morning and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks starts right here, right now. Apologies for the little technical hiccup there, but we are on the road for the second day of May 2018. Now, Brass Tacks, where the room is extremely cool, but the seat is hot. I want to start off talking about things that people would have raised with me during the week and also on my way here. I like to start that way so as though we have a feel, as though we have the pulse of the people. It's not just about my opinion or those who are fortunate enough to come through on the telephone lines, but about all Barbadians who would want to share their opinion. I was speaking to a business owner just this morning, and he highlighted to me two things that he is extremely concerned about. I know that amidst the political season, a lot of these issues will be lost in the fray and the fighting. And when the dust settles, we all know that we have to continue to live and operate in this country. So the two things quickly is he was saying that he's working with a number of young persons within his organization, a project we've been working on with my organization, Ranch to Work, where they go off to do some work in business places. And we encourage them to get the credit union account, even if it's a bank account, same thing. But we encourage them towards getting this credit union account recently in this particular program. Now, all of them would have been denied simply because they did not have proof of address. They needed a bill in the name. Now, I know before I had this problem, what they would do is they would get someone living at the house to write a letter. But his concern is that in the day and age where we are trying to make the ease of business a little easier, we find that there are all these restrictions, and there should be ways and means to work around persons according to their lot in life and where they are. And he also wanted to highlight that one of the banks, he did call the name, had sent him a letter recently where he would pay, he could pay the loans for his employees and so on, and they say, no, we're stopping that. If we cast our mind back, we heard about Royal Bank and the fact that they are not accepting checks for persons who don't have accounts with them as well. And we see a general trend where we ask ourselves the question, are we really trying to improve business in Barbados? And I wanted to start with that. I mean, it's a topic that we can pick up or a topic that we can park. But I think that all of these things we need to consider as we go forward. Now, I know it's political season and people want to get the political gravy placed on their rice and peas, placed on their cuckoo, placed on their mashed potatoes. So let's go down the road. In following the trend of thought in Barbados, there's a lot of calls on the various sides for people to do various things. And I'm going to ask the simple question this morning. And the first question, I'm going to start with the Barbados Labour Party. And the cry out there that I'm sensing from the ground is that the Barbados Labour Party, they're coming with lots of pretty things. They're coming with lots of noise, whistles, smoke, and mirrors. But they're not telling the people of Barbados what they plan to do after they become the government of Barbados. And they say, we want to know particularly, what are you going to do about jobs? Are you going to send home people? What are you going to do about the IMF? Are you going to go to the IMF? Now, these are questions that I would have tried to place to the opposition Barbados Labour Party during my time here. And one of the statements from them would have been the fact that, yes, we did. We are saying, look at the conference, look at Parliament, look at the Covenant of Hope. We have laid it out. Recently, there have been snippets of policy in relation to making the education at tertiary level free at point of delivery once again. And also the removal of the NSRL. So they can say, you know what? We have been putting the policies there. We have been saying what we plan to do. On the other hand, I would say the statement was made that a lot of these things would have been revealed during the campaign. So I just want to remind all and sundry, the campaign has started. So let us hear from all and sundry, not just the Barbados Labour Party, frontally. Because I've been following the campaigns and I've been wondering, okay, are we going to go down this road about who have the bigger crowds, who leave the place clean, or who leave it dirty? Or are we going to hear about issues? Are we going to hear about policies? Are we going to hear about who will legislate gay marriage and all of these various things? We want to hear about the issues, the policies that you plan to bring. I think all politicians on all political parties and the spot meetings that y'all intrude on people's houses worse than kites, worse than the song of the bull of a kite. What I want to hear are about the issues. On the other hand, some young person may actually play the voice note. We're really very concerned. They messaged me because they heard the Minister of Labor, Minister Suku, talking about the reasons. I hear the paraphrase, so I actually play the voice note if I could, Mr. Producer, a little later. A lot of young people, they don't have jobs because they don't want to look for work, and they're hooked up on drugs or something like that. And I think that if that is what was said, it is very unfortunate. And I believe that young people actually should be concerned and should stand up and say no. They should stand up and make their voices heard in a way that relates to what is the reality out there for them. I'll attempt to get the clip here now, and then we get down to brass tacks.
So cool. Get the honorable. Get on my TV. And someone, the reason why they got so much, the reason why there's a lack of young people in the labor force is because they don't want to get jobs and what they're doing to the body in terms of junk food and drugs. What? When you have a job market where people that are 61 and 62 and in the late 50s, early 60s still working, which good for them still working, you can't get the 16 and 17 year olds to start work. You can't get the 20 years to start work because nobody in less they work. Nobody in less they work, so nobody can start work. This is the first time that I wish we was doing a show this week. Because last week, nothing really happened to me and I was like, eh, whatever. But she get up on my TV and say that the reason why they don't got jobs for the young people is because of what we do to ourselves. We don't do nothing to ourselves. It's y'all older people, sorry Corey, it's y'all older people that got the economy set up the way how it's set up. So now when I'm 50 and 60 and I can't get a proper pension, I'm still working because I want proper pension. My grandson can't work, or my grandchild can't work too, because guess what? Until I leave my job, there's no space open for them. I think I make sense. One of them got to tell me if I still making sense, because in my opinion, I make sense. But she's talking a whole bunch of foolishness for my TV. Like, yes, we understand that young there's a problem, you know, with young children and drugs or whatever. But they got children like me that sitting in the house doing the schoolwork, studying, going out actively looking for a job and can't find one because every place telling me we're not hiring. She has me so well. She has me excellente.
The voice of the young people as they speak. These are the type of conversations that young people are having out there. As they hear the policies and they hear the reasons and they hear the reasoning of us, the old people. This is Dowda Brass Stats. Let's go to the telephone lines and say good morning and welcome to the first caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Corey.
Yes, please.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. You?
This is L-A-Y-N-E talking to L-A-N-E, no other but Mr. Agriculture.
No, Mr. Agriculture.
How you doing, my brother?
We good, man. We good. What you have for me this morning?
This is the silly season. I'm behaving myself. Mm-hmm. I am honestly having a wonderful campaign, a clean campaign. I was at East Coast. I was down Bay Street yesterday, moving around and mingling and seeing what is happening. Also mingling with the young people, not trying to convert anyone, Corey. But you know the side belongs. We're not trying to convert anyone. Just trying to tell them about the policies of the Barbados Labour Party. And what prosperity could be had with a change of administration. So, you know, I'm very fair, and I am very humble, and I'm very truthful to the things that I do. But, Corey, I must tell you, because I believe in constructive criticism, that you are moving from strength to strength as a young man, and I'm admiring you for that. Because, you know, when you first start, you got to creep and you got to walk. I yet to see the baby that walk and then creep. What I'm saying to you is that I knew when you first came to the Starcom Network Studios And right now, you are doing a wonderful job. And I'm placing you along Mr. Tony Marshall. Because I don't know if you knew the time that Tony Marshall was moderator, but Tony Marshall, a brilliant, me and him had some very harsh discussions already, and we went down the road rough with one another. But let me tell you something. Mr. Marshall was not an easy moderator, research-wise, educational-wise. You can't fault Mr. Marshall. And I'm saying to you, Corey, you are doing an excellent job, and don't let nobody come and sidetrack you, and I want you to stay focused. And what I admire about you two, on numerous occasions, you say to John Public, I am no member of no political party whatsoever. I stand alone. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, because I've heard you say on numerous occasions that you stand alone, and I admire you for that because I have been listening on programs from side to side.
But Carla, I don't mean to cut you. What I try to do I appreciate what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And when people start and go down that line, I get a little nervous. Not because they're trying to be modest, but I know that people use sometimes some strategies to build up others, to pull down others. And at the same time, whether or not that is the case, we try to make the program more about community, constituency, and national issues as opposed to things. So I appreciate the compliment. Right. But we need to get down to brass tacks. What are the issues of the day?
My contribution then today is, Corey, I know I have heard you speaking on agriculture on numerous occasions, and I had to say to myself, well, Corey, have a good knowledge of agriculture. But what is bothering me in 2018, Corey, the amount of land still that is sitting down idle, and especially in this area, because you would have seen over and over that has caused so much problems with fires and corruption, especially coming up to the time where the children have to do the 11-plus, Corey. And I don't think that the problem is finished, because right now in that Blackman and Gallup area, where they are clean up, the above side, below Staple Grove, the old Staple Grove plantation, the corruption has started to grow back. The grass has started to grow back. And then when we get more rainfall, right now it's getting a little dry, yes, but when we get more rainfall, that corruption issue is going to face us head-on again. And up here where I live, it is from Coleridge right down, Corey. I don't know if you know my area, but this is area that produce some of the best food, some of the best sugar cane, when you used to produce 80,000 tons of sugar. And all of this land here is just sitting idle. And government after government is saying that no good agricultural land is going to come out for housing and commercial buildings. And we are still allowing the owners of these lands to let them sit down idle so that they can reverse it to say, well, it is no longer agricultural land, it is arable land. You cut it up and they do what they want to do. And the first thing, Corey, that I want to see, if the Barbados Labour Party is elected to office, yes, they say that they're going to take away the money that the children got to pay for UWE. I am in agreement with that because I have children and you have children. But I also want to see that they pass a bill that any producing land cannot come out of agriculture for any housing or commercial building, because I am dissatisfied that government after government comes and say that, spits up in the air, and then the spit drop back down to haunt everybody. Corey, it cannot go on like that, because agriculture is life. Agriculture is the way forward.
Mr. Agriculture, let us cast our mind back to April 24th, when we had the People's Parliament. We had Indar Weir of the Barbados Labour Party, David Gill of UPP, we had David Waldron of Solutions Barbados, and Derek Went from the Barbados Integrity Movement. Someone made a point or on a WhatsApp that I said, you know, that a lot of fluff comes from the program and rhetoric, and that is why they supported that the Democratic Labour Party would not be here. But what I did say during the program was that we needed to move from the fluff, because we did have a lot of fluff, but among the fluff, we had a lot of good kernels of good policies and ideas. So a lot of them, well, they spoke about things like, you know, getting the fruit trees and getting the land use policy going and so on. I was concerned by the end of the program that I did not hear any passion or fire from any of them in relation to what you are talking about, and that is getting the land cultivated.
Yes.
Now, they made some good suggestions, so don't miss that point, the supporters of those people.
Right.
They made some good suggestions, and they have them down here noted. I have them here. My concern is that one of the main problems is the equipment that is designated to agriculture in Barbados, whether it is Soil Conservation Unit, BAMC, BADMC, or the Ministry of Agriculture, unless they are dishonest, whenever you approach these people, there's always some issue with the vehicles, the tractors, and so on. So in Barbados, when the study was done, it showed we had way more unproductive land and bush than in 1960. And the issue is that we need to get that equipment up and going and cultivate the land of Barbados. That is one of the main things I believe need to be done. And I'm not hearing that kind of thing. So I want to support you on that point. Let's get the tractors in the land and get the bush out and get some pumpkin and get some whatever else in the land. Get food in the land.
Corey, and I've experienced what you said because, you know, people always look at the negative sides of things in life and society. Yes, there's called constructive criticism, but I am the individual, and I don't come to brass that to show off and to push up my chest in the air.
But as well, you, as a supporter, I would like you to tell your party, and the supporters of all the parties, we do not want to hear who is a rat boxy and who's not.
Right.
We want to hear that there are 12 tractors.
Yes, please.
10 ain't working. We can fix 5. We can sell 2. We can bring in 10. And we can get at least 33,000 acres of land in production. That is what we want to hear. Well, that's what I want to hear.
Corey, let me tell you something. I don't talk what I do not know. The Agriculture Ministry last year got 3 brand new John Deere tractors. Some of the heaviest tractors you could think about. They also got plows. I mean, harrows. Some wonderful harrows that you will see using in Australia, because you know Australia feeds stretch from here to China. One row and one cane row, when the cane harvesters start to cut cane, how you see we cane harvesters move from here to there and turn around, them got to fill up about 5 40-foot containers before they come up on the next row. So I do my homework and I do my research, Corey, when it comes to agriculture, because I'm passionate and I do my own thing here as well. But what I'm saying is, I am burdened, other people is burdened. When I see the import bill, Corey, it has quadrupled over the last couple of years, and nobody seems to care. And what I am saying too, from a health standpoint, we know what we grow in this 166 square miles, Corey, and I know for a fact that those big growers, they use a lot of chemicals to bring forward the produce, because they have to grow on such a large scale to supply a large market that you wake up one morning and everything is green, and when you wake up the next morning, everything is ripe, Corey, and I know you understand what I'm saying, because some people do it with the bananas, some people do it with the plantings, and all of those things I grow, and I let them grow naturally. Because everything I grow, I make sure that I can make a meal of it, Corey. I just don't cook there, Corey. You know what I finish having? A piece of pumpkin, a piece of bed fruit.
And these are from your grown.
I'm right out in there, and all who know me, and I'm talking to show up now, and I'm talking for the conversation, Corey. We have to try to utilize the things we grow. And all these cancers and non-communicable diseases.
You want to answer my question, or I ask them if these things came from your grown?
But that's what I just said to you.
Okay, right. Just making sure.
Just outside there where I am in charge of, and I got plantains and I got bananas, and I am trying now to work on the papaw, because the papaw got an issue now with this bungee top, that I am doing my own research. I am hashing out some of the seeds with the big green papaws. I am transplanting them, and I am trying something there that it is working, but when I get it complete, then I will bring it out into the market for the other persons that trying to grow papaws on a big scale, that they wouldn't get this problem with the bungee top, because suddenly they get the papaws coming good, and then next minute, I don't know if you know where the bungee top, Corey, the top of the papaws going yellow, and then they're going backward, they can get lumpy on the inside. So I am doing my homework on a daily basis. I am still planting. I am still working hard. I am still trying to encourage the young people that there is a future in agriculture. But as you said, I am also working with my party, which is the Barbados Labour Party, that God's willing, on the 25th of May, when they are elected to office, that we have a lot of work to do. Not only to bring back this economy, not only to make this dollar go further, not only that poor people must be brought out of poverty back to prosperity, but push agriculture so that we can feed Barbados and we can establish an export market so that we can get some foreign reserves. Because right now the central bank is in problems, Barbados is in problems, and Corey, I am not campaigning, and I'm not campusing, but I want Barbados to understand we had 10 years of hardship and misery, and this is time. When you go out on the 24th, do the right things. I'm not telling nobody who to vote for. Do the right thing. You will know how the last...
All right, Miss Agriculture. All right. Okay.
Thank you very much, Corey, and God bless you.
All right. In terms of agriculture, though, I can just put in this snippet that we need to have overall look at this thing. One of the things I, since the program, I would have had within the project that I worked with, the Nature Farm Ranch, we had about 13 black belly sheep, nice sheep. And we had some dog attacks over the period of time that actually brought us down to 13. And then about last week, Thursday, we had the greatest attack. 10 feral dogs left us with 2.5 sheep. So when people talk about predial larceny, when people talk about dogs, when people talk about monkeys, I think that we, when we're looking at agriculture, we have to include these things. Now, if you're not a farmer, you don't understand, you may not care, but don't be like a three-year-old that, you know, his father asked him the other day, you know, where his food came from. He's at the supermarket. Don't be like that. Understand that the food comes from the ground, and we got to protect the ground and the farmers. This is the Wednesday edition of Down the Brass Stacks.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year.
1 year.
One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, energy lives here. Flow, always connected, always faster. KFC, finger licking good. Larry Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices. Accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations, a brighter, greener future. Sweet life in VOB country.
The longest standing wedding expo in Barbados is back and it's free. The nation's Forever I Do Expo and Seminar on May the 5th at the Hilton Barbados. Experience the ultimate wedding expo from 3 to 8 p.m. Six couples are vying for the chance to win over $25,000 in prizes towards the wedding of their dreams. Who will win? Find out May the 5th at the Hilton Barbados from 3 p.m. Don't miss the announcement of the winners of the 2018 Forever I Do Dream Wedding Competition. Bring your friends, family, and significant others and join us for the nation's Forever I Do Expo and Seminar.
Starcom Network and Cropover City would like to say a big thank you to our sponsors and partners of Soca Ignition. Our platinum sponsors, Mount Gay Rum and Remy Martin 1738, Jewish Whiskey, True Scotch Live True, Heineken, Open Your World, and Mackeson. Our bronze sponsor, Flow, always connected, always faster. And our associate sponsors and partners, Absolute, Barefoot Wines, Bailey's Original Irish Cream, G4S, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, Island Ice, JP Chenet, KFC, It's Finger Lickin' Good, Nation News, Sunny Biz Transport, TicketNation.bb, and Hot 95.3 FM. Soca Ignition! Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. Start your Soca engines and rev it up with Soca Royalty.
Good morning and welcome, Brass Stacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. How are you all? And the new ones, okay?
Everybody's good.
Right. I was just writing my contribution. Part of it. I remember during the time of Mr. Arthur's leading this country, he called the church twice for a consultation. I criticized him in some way, but you remember in Bible times the leaders were called to get his sackcloth and ashes when they did the things that they shouldn't have done. Some repented and they went on. Others were cast out. I heard during the week or last week or last Sunday, how Mr. Funder Stewart was in some church talking about crime, religion and crime. I would ask you all if you heard that he was in New York sometime last month. When he began to talk his talk, he was the only one left in the church. This politics that we are following, mixing religion and politics, is not good for the people. We are a people laughed at by everybody. I wonder if they have any, if this country has any allies. Are there any one of them brave enough to say it to him, you can't be doing this thing to the people? Because these people we looked up to, lots of the island peoples look up to Barbados for guidance and for direction. But now they can't look. Right? Not right now they can't look. I don't know who we are following, but something is very wrong in this country. It's under a shadow that should go away. Each day you wake up, the atmosphere is different. You don't know if today is today or tomorrow, if you had a dream and what's going on. The people are confused. The people are living in fear. But as the people said in biblical times, what the Lord says we will do. And another quote it says, the people like it so. The people must get up and do what they have to do because they are partly responsible for the hell that they've been through. Some of them might say, some might call it austerity, some might call it something else. But whatever it is that they've been through, at least the last 7 years, it is their fault and they need to get up and put an end to it. You've been calling for an end, a beginning of elections. Let this be an election that your children and grandchildren, those of you who are listening, will be proud of. We need to take off the scales. We have to take them off because nobody's going to take them off themselves. We have to take them off. We who can see and we know better, we have to take the scales off the people's eye. This government is bad for Barbados. But all the rest has gone through and they have done what they had to do. They made improvement. But this one is making depression, oppression, suppression, and impression too. But who are they impressing? You understand me? Everything is coming out of the press. But who are being or who is being impressed by this government? Every day I hear the program. For 5 years, I haven't called to make a contribution. How every day I wake up to join the program, it seems that there's a battle for me to do the call. I try, and it don't get through. And I had a suspicion that my call might have been blocked, my line. But I can get out to any other call. Any other call can get into me, and I can't get out. It looks like I, too, am under some depression. But it needs to come off. And I hope it starts with today. And start today for you people who are looking and you're going on and on and on. But there is no end to what you're going through. You're confused. You're depressed, suppressed, oppressed. Trying to get out of that press. You know, I have a way of dealing with my clothes. I don't earn a lot. Where I live, there is always wind. And the wind presses my clothes and I dress and go out. You press yours. But pressing the spoiled material, you're being spoiled by this government. Depressed. They don't tell you the truth. They don't want to tell you the truth because they're living in fear. You know, there's so much to say after 5 years. I seem confused. But you don't be confused. I'm trying to help you to make the decision that you should make. If you made your decision last year that you're going to vote for Tom, that is your decision. And if you make it and you change it this year, you know, I'm going to change it. I'm going for somebody else. That's your decision. But whatever you do, do it because of you. Do it because of your children. And do it because of your grandchildren, not because of your grandmother, father. But if my granny vote for this party, I'm going to do it. No, do it for you. You can't live how your grandparents live. You can't live how your parents live. We have all the technology. We've got means of learning. You got a chance to make things right. So make it right. They live so that you can survive. So now you should make them please, or make them feel please, that you have matured enough to make a way for yourself. Don't go back to granny. Don't go back to grandma, grandpa, or anybody else. Just for yourself. Use the technology that is open to you. Don't let it destroy you in the future. Use it right now. You need it right now to make your way out of this problem. It's a bigger problem than you can handle, and you need people with insight and vision to help you to make the right decision. Okay. I believe that I had the chance to help you, and you're calling for me, but I'm rambling today. I'm touching here for you, there for you, and everybody else.
Don't worry. I want to close you off on this one. This one is for you. This one says, good morning, Miss Africa. You have made some good and viable contributions this morning. I am in full agreement with you. You are right on the money. Have a good day, Miss Africa.
Thank you.
Good morning, Corey. When will we get by R650? Answer from me. I do not know. Good morning, Corey. I also want to hear the views from parties on capital punishment. So all parties out there, they are persons out in Barbados. They want to know your views on capital punishment. So when you go around and knocking or you mount those platforms, take 5 minutes out from talking about each other and tell the people about capital punishment, please. Good morning, Corey. Is the BLP manifesto released yet? I thought it was usually the norm to have that disclosed then. Probably they're talking about the policies. Good morning, Corey. That voice, no, I can understand. However, young people are being trained to think job, 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 job. Good point there. Just a reminder. Good morning, Corey. Please remind the lady in the voice note the pension age was 65, as far as I can remember, and she is ready to send home people at 50. Point taken. Now, every young people see 35 as old. Imagine what they will see 50 as. So that is something they need to get out of their mindset too as well. Good morning, Corey. I want to know if there is anyone I can complain to about the loud and vulgar music played on PSVs. I've called the transport authority and was told by the secretary that she gets lots of complaints and passed them on to a higher authority, but it seems like nothing is being done. Corey, I'm in my 50s and I have to endure this every day. We, the public, are crying out for help. Now, there's a cry been going on very, very, very long. You know, you complain, they tell you, do not catch the van, get out of the van, get back your money, but you can't get a transport board bus, so you have to get into the van. And you can complain to the police, the judge, the magistrate, and Chief Justice. It doesn't matter. It will continue until somebody in authority gets the courage to actually put their foot down and actually implement penalties for such on a consistent basis in a way that we will see it brought to an end. Good morning, Corey. In all fairness to Suku, you should listen to the clip yourself. I didn't get what the young girl got from it. I was actually in agreement with Suku. Go and pull up the clip. I will seek to do so. One of the things we have to look at, though, is when the message is sent out, the people, getting the message is also what is important. Not always what was intended, but what is gotten. So I'm going to get the clip. The clip is important. The information is important. But we also have to look at how people are seeing things around them as well. Let's get about two more and then we go back to the lines. Good morning, Corey. Do not be misled about anything about the IMF. The way Barbados have been managed over the last decade means that whoever forms the next government have to seek a large injection of cash from somewhere. This is an indisputable fact. I place no faith in the last recovery plan placed on the table by the current administration. It is the sixth or seventh and none have worked. And there is no indication that this one will either. They have just kicked the can down the road. Some hard decisions will have to be made and the populace have to understand that. And we are going good to need international assistance. We cannot run from it any longer. The IMF is there to assist. Just look at how Grenada has benefited. Down the Brass Stacks. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome.
Today.
I am fine, thanks, and you?
Good. All right. Mm-hmm. I am pretty good. Now, I want to start on what you started off with, and let us be. You may have to give me at least 5 minutes more this morning, if it do come to that, because, you know, I'm very short at all times.
Okay, so you claim it back some time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard you made mention that people are asking for the BLP to tell them what they are going to do. Am I wrong or not?
Yes, people have been asking that.
Now, right now, Parliament is closed. Whoever wants to get into Parliament has to convince the electorate, right or wrong?
Yes.
Good. Why it is that the emphasis is played out in public that the Barbados Labour Party is to tell the country what there is to do to correct the problems that are going on, and nobody is asking the DLP to tell them what would they do if they regain office. That is the question, and the key question that I would like the public to ask the Democratic Labour Party. Since you had 10 years and your policies did not work, what new policies are you going to bring? What are you going to do to correct this problem if we give you an opportunity? I want those two questions to be carried on the platform of the Democratic Party. Tell the public what you're going to do. You're the last person.
Oh, you mean on the platform? Because that's been on this platform from the beginning, from the day after. But in fairness to you, on the messages I'm reading, when I said that, a lot of people said exactly what you're saying, that we want to hear from the administration as well. But the thing is, their policies are demonstrated in their actions over the last 10 years, right?
And they were.
Right. And that is up for the judgment. As you say, you got to convince people. Right. So you got to convince people that they're actually working, or they're working but you can't see it, or they may work because...
Exactly.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me turn to the IMF. And I can keep on this matter. Because we have people, especially those from Kiev, and those who people who believe that they are more knowledgeable, because naturally speaking, we have more academic politicians than practical politicians. That's the problem we have in this country. Now, we are being fed with the belief that the IMF is such a stranglehold on a country, and it's going to force you as a country to do things that is going to cause the poor man to suffer. Now, I hear people talking about what happened in Jamaica and what happened in the next place, but they never talk about what happened here. In 1976, that we asked you for time, after the late Tom Adams took the government, he went into the IMF. The person that took this country into the IMF or made Barbados a member of the IMF was Earl Walton Barron. That the father of independence. As soon as we got independence, he joined the IMF. Now, when Tom Adams took up this government, and let us look at numbers, I would say Tom Adams had 9 years in office. Franklin Stewart had almost the same 9 years. Now, let us look at productivity from both two people. When Tom Adams took up this government, this Democratic Labour Party government was in, I would say, fragmented. It was in problems where you had, they talk about people that joined party. You had Frank Allen. You had Wendell McLean, who were economists at the university, form a party near the PDN between 1971 and 76 because they felt that this country was in dire straits for proper economic management. Now, Tom Adams took up this government and went to the IMF. And the first time the civil service in this country get a hefty increase was under the Democratic Labour, under the Barbados Labour Party that went to the IMF. Look at the construction and the improvement and the growth that took place under Tom Adams as a member and person who went to the IMF. Are you going to tell me that in 2018 you got people in this country who are wrecking this country and making people believe that the IMF is a monster? Well, if he was a monster then, look at the things that took place. We had poor plantation workers under Tom Adams was able to own their own land. We had highways built. We had the cement plant built. We had the financial center built. And many other projects with connections with the IMF. So why it is now in 2018... that we should not go to the IMF? It may be because the people that in the Democratic Labour Party who have no knowledge of what they're doing, they keep saying so all the time. Because Alba had to return to this country and he see who leading it. And that's David Thompson had to return to this country and see who is a minister like Kelman. Those people will walk out of George Street. I am saying that because I speak of the knowledge and background. I am hurt when I hear people trying to tell this country that they should not go to the IMF for financial assistance. And on a note that hurt me up to this morning, when I hear some person saying on the other side, but Mayor Martin went for the Chamber of Commerce and said that when she come back, she would not come back as an ordinary member, but she would come back as Prime Minister. Stuart went into New York. I told the people the next time he come back up here, he will come back as the Prime Minister again. Who gives him the authority? I said, Mayor, don't have the authority.
That's a very good comparison, I must say. Someone sent me something, and I actually saw a similar WhatsApp. Let me pull it out here. Hey, Corey, being in the press, you should do your due diligence before seemingly support and publicizing voice texts. Vetting is core of being fair and balanced. Now, I see myself here as a moderator. I'm not, let me say, in press, mainstream, or freelancer. I do follow current affairs extensively, but I would admit I do not hear everything. I cannot hear everything. And that's in relation to something that someone sent me. It said that at the Chamber of Commerce that Ms. Motley said when she returns, she will not return as opposition leader for sure. And she didn't go on. That's what someone said. No, I will have to go and dig up and check on that. The same thing that you're saying here in relation to what Mr. Stewart said, he will not be. I heard someone say that. That's to her hand as well. But then if it is true, it is a good comparison. Right.
All right, let me
now, on to this person, because I don't want to leave it out. I wasn't supporting and just publicizing, I wouldn't say it wasn't just supporting it. What I was saying is that this is how some people feel about the speech. So whether what was said, we have to be careful how young people particularly actually receive the things that we say. So if we speak, we must be able to speak that, especially if you're talking about young people, that they understand what it is that you're saying. Sorry, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, let me finish answering, John. I heard also lamenting that Dale Marshall said for the last 10 years that St. Joseph was neglected. How long 10 is larger than 60? 60 is larger than 10 by numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a dealing with St. John. Matt Fingal, who said that he was asked to run in St. John because the people felt neglected and they don't receive proper representation. Now, there's a constituency that was held for 6 years by the Democratic Labour Party. And this is a constituency, Corey, that have, I believe, the most territories in this island. And today, I spoke in Collington at a meeting, and I knew Collington before it developed. Collington was a territory. Corey, if you go into Collington, and you see the massive wall houses that built since the Tenantry Act was done by Tom Adams, where those workers that work at Collington could own Collington plantations. That work at Collington plantation tenantries. And you see the development in St. John, and you can tell me that you call this social neglect. Now, let me say this. The late Earl Walton Barras promised the people and said to the people in St. John that if and when he leaves St. John, they should be careful enough to choose somebody from among themselves. And let me tell the women and the men in St. John, if one doubt what Albert said, that you all men in St. John are proper men, ask Esther Bayesuku. Ask Dr. Esther Bayesuku about St. John men. And I finish on that. Because she has a husband from St. John. Thank you.
All right, let's leave it there. I'm going to try to get some verification on that. I'm getting lots of messages here. Mia said that she would not address the body again as opposition leader. If the BLP loses, she will give the job to someone else. That was my understanding, says the writer. Someone else here said, again, this is from Ulu. He says, again, Mia did not say that. She said that it would be the last time she'd be addressing the chamber as leader of the opposition, one way or the other. Those last four words mean she would be, whether she became prime minister or not. Again, Corey, she said definitely not returning as opposition leader, implying she will either return as a PM or she will resign as opposition leader. Let's get in some other WhatsApps here. Thanks for the clarification. This one says, again, Mr. Agriculture has a point on the college being growing. It is growing back at the Blackman and Gollop Primary School. While we talk election 2018, those children need not suffer due to the Ministry of Education, Health or Agriculture. They need not to drop the ball when informed that Cowich is growing again. This one says, good morning, my dear. I love the lady, Miss Africa. She has such good energy. It makes me feel good this morning. This one, read the voice note. How come her testimony resonates so much? How come it's flying in the face of Minister S. Lashley bragging about, Minister S. Lashley bragging about the success of entrepreneur effort under his care? Reminds me of the bragging of the QEH Gold Award, and then the very next week, the QEH stated only emergency surgeries. Smoke and mirrors, indeed. Someone says, Corey, this is a week now I cannot sleep in my house because a fellow at Flat Rock has been flying his kite over my house. Could you imagine? The police told me to put in earplugs. I told them the person's name, where he lives, and where the kite is staked out, all to no avail. On the kite issue, I want to make a point on that. This one says, Corey, good morning. Why is it that when Miss Africa calls this program, certain moderators like yourself don't engage her in conversation. Is it because you assess her as not being an intellectual? Well, for your information, Miss Africa called me this morning. She told me her phone was giving some difficulty. She was trying to get through the program for the longest time. And I told her what I would do is I would call her from the studio. So I actually got my producer to call Miss Africa because I haven't heard her contributions for long. There are some callers like Miss Africa also who writes their contribution, and when you try to engage them too much, you throw them off. So sometimes you have the caller that is properly known as Statsman. You have Miss Africa. There are one or two other callers that sometimes by engaging them, you lose the essence of what they're saying. So you have to let them speak. I hope that that clarifies that for you. Good morning and welcome. 9 minutes before 11 o'clock. Dr. Brass Stats, you're on the air.
Corey.
Yes, please.
How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thanks. In the cold studio, in the hot chair.
Well, first, I'm going to ask you to remove yourself from the chair shortly, but not just yet, because they've got some questions to ask that you can't answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is to deal with your preamble earlier this morning in relation to what the Barbados Labour Party has to tell the people and what the Democratic Labour Party has not told the people. But my position here is that where it works. Remember last week, Corey, and when you can at least accuse, you can at least come and say thank you. Last week I spoke to you about something that was happening up here in my area, Hines Hill, as far as the roads are concerned, being damaged by container. And you asked me what I did about it, and I told you I spoke to the parliamentary representative at the time, but I was annoyed that the person who owned the property had not showed him. So this morning, I am pleased to say that I am seeing some improvement. I'm seeing some work being
good.
Done to it.
Very good.
Right. I'm seeing seeing that the waterway is being prepared for the water to run off. And I hope that the promise that was made that they will rectify. And I say that, yes, where they really works. And because where they works, I get results when I call the calling program. Thank you. I want to thank the person in the business establishment just above me and on behalf of the residents over here as well, that he's heard our plea and he's at least made the canal possible for the water to run off and at least correct the problems of the road there. Now, your preamble, Corey, you said that the Barbados Labour Party has not told the people exactly what they should be doing.
Stop. I say that that's what people are asking, not
right.
I am asking that. Okay.
I am a concerned citizen, and I want to speak away from the Barbados Labour Party as being identified and speak as a concerned citizen. So that's why I'm going to ask you to...
You know, it's hard to make that transition in this society, though. I just let you know.
Okay, but the questions you will not be able to answer.
Right, go ahead.
I'm sure that some of the listeners... I am calling on some people to provide the answers as I speak here now. I want the Minister of Energy, the Permanent Secretary... And we'll leave it at that. I want the media to listen, and I want the media to follow up on this. Obvious Parliament dissolved on the 5th of March, right? There was some time in this country that, as far as Cahill was concerned, that we were told about what was happening with Cahill and what was likely to happen. It was put on the back bench. For what I know, because there was not further discussion on it. But I want to ask the Minister of Energy, if he's listening, and the Permanent Secretary, who left this island a couple of weeks ago and went off to Miami, yes, Miami, and met one of the representatives of someone who was with Cahill, but they're not with Cahill now. But they went off to Argentina, they went off to Miami, and all of this was at the government expense. I want to know if they are going to try to take over government without explaining to the people of this country the things that they were doing. Secondly, I want to know if the contract and the permission has been given for the renovation of the Empire Theater. I want to know, they got to come. I want to know from the Minister of Public Works, what is the true position as far as the private vehicles are operated within the system. These are things that I'm asking the members of the Barbados Labour Party to ask the members of the government who claim that they're disclosing things. What are they disclosing? What are they disclosing? And I'm calling on them to tell us what was the discussion with the money, Barbados money that sent these people off to discuss with one of the people from Cahill in Miami. What came out of that discussion? Will there be a Cahill project if this government comes back into power? Or with the Barbados Labour Party, a government likely to form would have to face the situations of any contract signed when they should not have been signed. These are serious, serious issues. I want to know how it is that for almost 12 years, 10 years and over that, the Imperator was on stall. All of a sudden, it is now supposed to be at least continued. I am saying to the members of both parties, the same way you're going to tell us about removing the cost for school children at university level, the same way you're going to return certain taxes, we want to hear you ask these people these questions. We want you to tell us. I'm calling on the members of the opposition. I'm calling on as far as I'm concerned, Corey, I'm calling on the Minister of Energy, who nobody seems to realize that he functions, but he functions, to tell the public of Barbados what has been going on. And certain people from here in Barbados decided they were not going. Certain departments were called upon to follow in this delegation, and they said they were not getting involved at this time. These things are not fair. These things are not fair to us, our taxpayers. We need to know.
You one thing you're right about is that I can't answer a lot of those questions. It was they actually telling my producer he should be lining up Bumba. I want to know.
Don't cut me.
But no, I'm cutting you. I got to cut in. Can't let you just go on and then be accused of giving the people sympathetic to the opposition a lot of free rein. You know, right. And whether they accuse us of that or not, one of the things we have to do is maintain this balance regardless of what people try with their reverse psychology. I want to underscore something coming out of your contribution, though, and the fact that we do not have a mechanism really to ask the type of questions that you've been asking. Now, when you come to the People's Parliament, if you can get on and ask people directly, that's a little snippet. But we can't afford to have a mechanism every 5 years that we can ask these direct questions. No, questions have been asked in Parliament, and they've been understood as question time in Parliament. And there is no mechanism or nothing that compels these people to answer the question, and both administrations. Now, I know that we've seen, and the BBC in the UK Parliament, a Parliament that we say that we model ourselves after, where they have question time, and the Prime Minister has to sit there and she has to answer the questions. And I think that it is time that we come up with mechanisms via technology or via parliamentary questions where people have to answer the questions to the people that they represent. Because you're going to come here, you're going to ask all these fantastic questions. And when 2 o'clock comes in the program, finish the questions a day, like the session of parliament. That is my concern. We need to have to implement mechanisms. Please, but land your plane.
I can land here.
But you can land.
I don't want to crash land. I can see the tarmac. I can see the tarmac ahead of me.
The control tower saying, come down.
I am saying this. It is not
clear the sky.
This time, Corey, it is not at this time to ask about question time because the House dissolved. I am saying that I believe in fairness to the electorate of Barbados. That since we have sent people to Parliament to discuss issues that concern us, outside of Parliament, if you have an executive body running the country, and the executive body happens to be people of the government, and questions are asked to say where they can have some political propaganda of what they're going to do, then they need to be able to say, we want to call a press conference because we heard a misbehaved person, a bad-behaved person, or a lying person saying these things and saying that. I just asked this question. Tell us what came out of the discussion that was held in Miami concerning the reestablishment of Cahill. Now, I also want to ask the Minister of Public Works, gentlemen, if the $100 million that have been set aside for the repairs of roads in Barbados, if what we are seeing is part of that $100,000, all he has to do is come and say, the call is malicious, the call is getting involved in things he shouldn't get involved with, the custom saying, but you still have to tell us if the $100 million, as far as we're concerned, what we are seeing being done now is part of that $100 million. And I say this as I close.